our show this evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining our show. I am your host, Wanda McKinley, along with Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children. We want to help individuals transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient in society, as well as survive and thrive on their own. We want to uplift them, provide them with a new life, with a new perspective of what a normal life should be, by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was molested from the age of 7 to 12 by my biological father. From the age of 13 to 18, I was raped by my biological father as well as my stepfather. At the age of 19, I met my ex-husband, who was also abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him for about 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help men, women, and children who have walked or may still be walking in my shoes. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
I am good. What about yourself?
I'm sleepy. I'm so sleepy because I am so mentally drained. But I'm here. I'm vibrant. I've got to wake up because I have choir rehearsal after the show, so I've got to wake up. But right now, I'm sleepy. So what you got
it's
for
in the,
us?
It's in the air.
Yes. And then trying to just not getting over a flu, too, even though it's been almost just the second week, it's still, like, lingering. And then people around me are getting sick, so there's no telling. But what we got going on for our fundraising event, tell us about that. And anything else that you might want to share?
Well, we currently have several fundraisers that we would like for each and every one to support us in. If you currently have a Kroger Plus Rewards card, or if you would like to go and get a Kroger Plus Rewards card, and if you will go to Kroger.com and register it and attach it to We Are Survivors, it's really simple. If you just go and start typing in We Are, then Your Survivors will pop up. You just click the dot and attach it to We Are Survivors. And according to how much you spend each quarter, you're not doing anything different. Just continue to shop like you normally shop. And according to how much you spend each quarter, Kroger's will give a donation to We Are Survivors. The same thing with Tom Thumb. Just go to TomThumb.com and register your clerk. And according to how much you spend, we'll get a donation. Same thing, you know, spend anything extra to shop just like you normally shop. Then we also do the Compass Paint Bank reward. You attach your bank card to We Are Survivors. When you use your card, they give us a donation as well. So, again, all three of these, you're not doing anything different, and they give us a donation. Then we also do the Purple City Project. That one is where the photographer will give us a donation. And because Wanda has already taken her pictures, I always turn it over to her and let her explain that one. So, Wanda, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you and let you explain that one. And then after you finish that, I have one more thing that I want to share. And it's not really a fundraiser, but it's something else that I do want to put out there. So go ahead, Wanda.
Oh, great. I always love some more news. Thank you. The Purple City Project is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot campaign, and it's either personal or professional. And the photographer's name is Charles, a.k.a. City. His phone number is 214-591-1370. Again, his number is 214-591-1370. He has four different packages. The photo shoot, you have to wear something purple, lipstick, a socks, something that can be seen. If you do not have something purple, men and ladies, He does have a purple backdrop because it is acknowledging domestic violence. It is the awareness campaign to show your support. I'm going to go over two packages that he has, the top two, which is a $55 package. It's valued at $100. It's a 20-minute session for up to four people, unlimited shots, one look, two edits. One look means one outfit. Two edits is the two pictures that you get to take away for your $55. The second package is an $80 package valued at $160. It's a 45-minute session, up to four people, unlimited shots, two looks, which means you get two outfits, and four edits, which also means you get to take away four pictures. So if you get four people, split that cost, everyone gets to take home a picture to remind them of their domestic violence awareness campaign photo shoot. Part of those proceeds will be donated to We Are Survivors so that we may be able to help provide hotel rooms for men, women, and children, because as I'm doing some research, I have found out there's only 188 beds available in the Dallas County area. And those that have lived here in Dallas County know how large Dallas County is. So 188 beds, it's really none at all. So it's really important that the fundraisers that we have, the people participate. And before I let Stephanie fill us in on some more news, I also want to touch base about the paparazzi $5 jewelry that We Are Survivors also has become a distributor of. And we know that when we look and feel good, then our day goes better, smoother. And I love jewelry. And so we sell men and women's items, and they are really nice as I'm looking at them now. And as I said before, I'm trying not to wear them. It's challenging, but so far I'm doing good so far. And then because we're also into wellness and health, your hair, your nails, your skin, your weight, we also are a distributor of It Works. And a lot of people know about the crazy wrap thing. So, and I'm telling you, ladies and men, the wrap really works. It really works. And so they have a lot of different supplements, and that's something else that We Are Survivors is participating in to help raise funds. So a lot of people, you have people that will donate just because you have those people that want something in return. So because of those, you know, trying to accommodate different types of people, We Are Survivors have reached out and participated in different programs so that you can buy something, get something in return, and benefit a victim or a survivor. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Okay, something that I have gotten very excited about, you know, there's been times that we've mentioned on here when we kind of share about how our day has gone. Wanda and myself have mentioned about these migraines that we've had. And I actually have been praying that God take these away from me. But I ran across something recently that has really helped tremendously. So I do want to kind of put this out there to share it. And it not only helped my migraine, but it has helped with just pain, period. So whether you have migraines, you know, just pain, arthritis, people that have been dealing with cancer, just any type of illness, I'm gonna give my website on this, but I've used this gel just because I had prayed that I would be able to come off all these pills that I've had to take with this. And this is actually a gel that I've been able to just rub on, and it just takes the pain away just like that. And so I'm loving this because I'm tired of having to pop pills. So not only seeing this with just my migraines, but being able to see, like, there's another doctor out of Dallas. We've seen him just go up to people and take it, you know, and they've had arthritis, and, you know, hands have been closed for years. The only downfall that I wish this had come out before my mom passed, because my mom had arthritis and lupus, and seeing her hands close up like that for many years, I just wish I had gotten hold of this before she passed. So that's what I say. I see the downfall is I didn't get a hold of this before that, because I would have loved to have, you know, been able to see this open her hands up. She had surgery on both hands, and it did not open her back up. And but I mean, being able to see this, you know, do things like this, and I mean, you know, it's called Rejuvenate, which is a gel. I call it Wonder Gel because I've seen it do wonders. But I'm gonna put my website out there. It's Fox Legacy. Fox is FOXX legacy.com/SAlford. Again, it's FOXX. legacy.com/SAlford. And you can go in there, you can see, you know, videos, you can see the testimonies. I'm telling y'all, anybody y'all know have any type of pain, any type of illnesses, you need to send them to that website. It's just awesome. And that's one of the things, like I said, has done some wonders. So that is what I wanted to be able to share with everybody.
I need you to text me that website, because the devil is alive, but I was told 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. Oh my goodness, 3 weeks ago. I need a total knee replacement. Never been athletic in my life.
Yeah.
And as I cried on the hospital bed, I told that woman, I said, I just turned 44. Just turned 44. And you will not give me the diagnosis. So I won't get a second opinion, but there are days when I literally have to drag my leg because of severe pain. Then there are, thank God, the last week and a half, it's been pain-free. But, yes, I need you to text me that, because I definitely want to look into that. That sounds, that sounds like something
I
need.
Sick. This is what we've been trying to get to you, but you've been so sick. So, we already got you.
Yes, I have been sick, fighting this flu. Mm-hmm. Let's go over. We do have someone on the show today that I can't wait to allow her time to speak. I do want to go over quickly some events that we do have coming up, because if we wait to the end of the show, God always takes control, and we always run out of time. So I've learned to get these things done in the front end of it so that we don't have to be trying to squeeze it in on the back end. And the Black Tie fundraising event that was scheduled for February 18th has been rescheduled. It has been moved because the location where it's going to be, the event center, will not be ready on time, and she doesn't want to rush it. So it will be March 18th. It is Sophisticated Sip. It is going to be a black tie fundraising event, and the proceeds are to We Are Survivors. Again, that's March 18th. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really excited about that. And before I go any further, I do want to say thank you and acknowledge Brother Brian Jones, who is the founder of God's Talent Ministry. This past Saturday, January 28th, the organization was honored, and we were given an award for Organization of the Year for fighting against domestic violence. This award I accepted on behalf of We Are Survivors, because I do not do this by myself. There is no way on God's green earth I could ever do all that happens by myself. Most of the stuff that happens, I'm not even doing it. So I do want to acknowledge Brian for acknowledging We Are Survivors, because Stephanie was right there with me in 2016 on all of different events and community service things we did with the children. She was right there with me in that heat, my Lord, in the Texas heat. So I thank her. February 11th is our Angel's Heart Story, Go Red for Heart Disease. This is the second year. Last year was beautiful. This is the fourth year. I'm sorry, it's going to be the second year of We Are Survivors attending. And it is an all-red event, and it is for heart disease. It's acknowledgement. They have wonderful speakers. They have wonderful things that vendors. They have a live painter, and she actually auctions it off. Last year, her work was phenomenal. So that is actually February 11th from 6 to 11. It's at Plaza Arts Center in Carrollton, and it's Hype Kids Nation, which is spelled HYPEKIDZNATION.org, HypeKidsNation.org. You can go there to the website to buy the tickets. They're $45, and it is really worth you going. It's an awesome experience. And also, February 19th, this is just, everyone that follows We Are Survivors and follows me know I have my wonderful designer, Tina Peters, and she has some beautiful clothes, jewelry, all of her stuff she makes herself, and her jewelry is breathtaking. She, and some of you also know that when she has shows that I'm also a participant. Well, this show is February 18th. It's called the 2017 Pin Show. It's a little twist to it, because she has several pieces, several outfits and jewelry in the show, but none of her models get to model it. So it's really funny to see her. Just, she's like an OCD person. And the fact that she can't be behind stage, none of her models can be there behind stage. They pick all the models, which is really, like I said, a twist. And so that, if you want to come out and support, have some fun, is February 18th. Oh, I keep pushing buttons with my face. 6:30 to 11:59 or midnight. And it's at the Bomb Factory, which is 2713 Canton Street in Dallas, Texas, like in the Deep Ellum area. Again, that's February 18th. Saturday, the Bomb Factory, it's a 2017 pin show. If you ever want to just come out and look at a fashion show, it will be actually 250 walks, which means it's 250 different outfits. Excited. If you have, get your money's worth for sure. So those are the events as of right now that are coming up for the month of February. And as you all know, as we get more invites, we'll let you all know. Let's see. Just saw something else that might be interesting. Okay. I'll bring that up next week. Let's get to our guest. Let's get to our guest. Yes. All right. Now we can get into the meat of the program. So excited. We have a young lady. I told her I was going to try and do a very short introduction because she can tell us more about herself, but she has accomplished so much. She is the founder and director of the New Image Youth Center in Orlando, Florida. The mission of New Image Youth Center is to help inner city children and also to help build a strong character, life values through positive, motivating, and exciting learning experiences. This young lady is a licensed mental health counselor and also a doctor. She has a master's degree in mental health counseling. She's an author. She has been acknowledged as a hero in her town and her city. She has a book. If you're following her, once I introduce her, if you're following her, her latest book is called There Is Good in My Hood. Love the title. It's kind of catchy. And it's highlighting how children living in poverty-stricken areas find ways to succeed, even when surrounded by seemingly just unforeseen hardships. She also narrates the story of a young man making decisions that will affect the rest of his life. And as we know, we do that on a day-to-day basis. I know being a mother, I used to always preach to my child that the decision you make today may dictate what you can and cannot do tomorrow. So without further ado, I want to allow this young lady to tell us about herself, to inform us of, you know, what God has brought her through, what motivated her, inspired her, drove her to become a founder of such a wonderful organization, what made her decide to work with children. You know, that in itself speaks volumes. And so without further ado, I want to introduce to you Dr. Barton Stubbs. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for such an amazing introduction.
No, thank you for all that you do.
Aww.
Wow. So I'm, once again, excited that you're on the show.
Thank you.
We are actually doing some things together, but
yes.
I want to know, the listening audience wants to know, tell us about you. Tell us about your journey. And I love the fact that you have a doctorate degree. I love that. I love to see women that soar, because honestly, that is my goal. And if I could just take your doctorate degree and put my name on it, that'll make me really happy. This schooling is kicking my tail.
Can I
borrow somebody? Oh, goodness. My professor's laughing at me. Just let me borrow it for a minute. Can I be an honoree doctor? Something. But let me be quiet.
You deserve that.
Oh, goodness. One day it's coming. But let's talk about you. Tell us about yourself.
Well, you've done a great job with just giving great highlights. And so a little bit about myself. I tell people all the time, I'm just a young girl who had a small vision, and I didn't even know what that vision meant. And when I say young girl, I mean I go back all the way to the age of 5 years old, where I would just talk to my Barbie dolls, and I would line them up, and I would give speeches to them as I was accepting awards. Never knew exactly what my destiny or purpose was at the time, but God did, and he had it instilled in me at a very young age. I come from a teen mother. My mom was 16 years old when she had me. She was living in the project, but I remember her constantly saying that I'm not going to be here always. And she, too, was in an abusive relationship, and so I grew up seeing a lot of this stuff until I was the age of 6. But I remember even going through a lot of these things that I will always tell myself that it was not going to be like this always. That was the same thing that my mom used to always say, and I didn't know exactly who I was going to become or how, but I knew that God had a plan. So I grew up, and, you know, life happened and things happened, and I was 21 years old. My mom ended up marrying my stepfather, who is my father, an amazing man who came into our life and changed our whole path. But my father believed very strongly that, you know, there were only certain grades that were allowed to come into the house. So he began to teach me at a very early age that getting by with just enough was not going to work for us. And so I was a college student, 21 years old, and my father moved his church from an area we call Winter Park, which is the nice area, the nice flowers, the nice people. People greet and meet you. And he moved his church to an area by the name of Paramore. And the Paramore community was nothing like the Winter Park area. And the Paramore community was a poverty-stricken area where most people, you know, roll up their windows, lock their doors, and ride through really fast. I hated everything about Paramore, but it was that very dark spot that actually created the life that I'm in now. And I often tell people that I am the founder of New Image Youth Center, but let me just be honest for a moment that New Image Youth Center found me. So here I was, 21, a college student. My father moved his church. I came over to help him clean out the new church. I hated everything about the community, the look, the smell, the people, and it scared me. But I remember that one day there were some kids who were in and out of the street, and they were playing inside a grocery basket. Now, there's no grocery store in Paramore. It's like any other ghetto that we are familiar with. So the kids would go in this grocery basket, and they would push this grocery basket in the middle of the street, and then they would watch the cars swerve. And as the cars would swerve, they would get a kick out of that. And I began to yell over to the kids, not even thinking, hey, what the heck are you doing? And I remember four of the little boys came over, and one of them gave me a cussing and told me to mind my own business. And I remember thinking, like, oh, my gosh, I almost felt like Dorothy when she wasn't in Kansas anymore. But it was that very moment that forever changed my life. So the only thing I had in my dad's church at the time, the church was a very old, mold-infested building, actually considered condemned. The only thing we had at the time was a game of Monopoly. We all know how long Monopoly can last. So I played that one game of Monopoly with the kids, and that one game of Monopoly, they began to come every day. And that is really how the New Image Youth Center was started. And most people don't understand that. It was a need at the time. I just began to fulfill the need. And over the years and over the time, God has begun to grow it. He has begun to bless it. The moment I became one with those children, they were officially mine. So there was no turning back. And so that's how New Image Youth Center has gotten started. There was a time when I had to work at night. I was a college student. At this time, I was a grad student. And I had to work at night just to keep the doors open. I had to make sure I was able to pay all the bills. This is when people didn't believe in what we were doing. And people would say, why are you doing this? And I would say, well, if I don't, who is? And I also believe very strongly that we were all called for something great, but sometimes we answer the call a little too late, or sometimes we don't answer it at all. I'm so grateful that I answered the call on that day, because it has forever shaped my life and the students of New Image Youth Center. So, you know, New Image Youth Center now is an after-school safe haven. We have 75 youth, and what they do, they come every day after school. Academic tutoring is a must. As you said, I have a doctorate, so I believe very strongly in that. We also provide different programs that our kids normally would not be able to afford or be able to have the exposure to, such as piano. We have karate. We have yoga. We have cooking classes. We have a community garden. And we have life skills. So we're constantly building our youth up with positive affirmations, teaching them who they are, what they can do in life. And whatever it is that they want to do, we find the resources that they need to make sure that it gets done. So, again, you know, and a lot of the awards and things that you mentioned truly came from me just being obedient, you know. And I think a lot of people often look back and they're like, wow, look at where you are. But they don't know the story. There's a lot of testimony behind where we are now. There's a lot of story behind where we are. It just didn't arrive overnight. This was a journey. And I think a lot of times we get tired and we give up on things, but we don't understand that the hard part is part of the journey. God is trying to allow us to go through things so that we can become stronger in them. And in those things that we're stronger in, then we're able to help other people. So definitely been a journey. I thank God for the journey. It's been ups and it's been downs. Back in 2014, I was on my way to meet my kids because we were planning for our Martin Luther King parade, and I was hit by a semi-truck on our interstate. And I remember at that very moment thinking that was it for me, thinking that I was getting ready to die, and I actually thought I was dead for 3 weeks because of my mental capacity. But I tell people all the time that God kept me for a reason. So it was even during that downtime that I began to, like, rise up even the more and be reminded of what my purpose is. So, you know, if I could say anything to encourage anybody today, it's, you know, get out of your own way of thinking, because our own way of thinking will lead us wrong. But there is a permissive will, and that will is the will that God has for you. So if we really want to live a life of purpose, we really have to be open to the Holy Spirit to see what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And when we're in the middle of it, it's not going to be easy. But if we know that God has told us to do it, He will provide the resources and the things that we need to make sure that it is done. And that's the only thing I've seen Him do in my life over and over and over again.
You was preaching to me.
And
well,
praise
I receive
the Lord.
It.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
I tell you, to hear that, oh, my goodness, I'm sitting here talking about, why is she talking to me? She's supposed to be talking about herself. Why is she talking to me?
Because
this journey is, this. It is something. It is something.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I don't think that a lot of people understand that. What they see is the glory behind it, you know, but they don't understand that behind every glory, there is a really big story. And sometimes my story may not be like your story, but there's definitely a story, you know. And I've recently found out that even certain people that I have to kind of like be careful with, because they don't understand. All they see is the glory, and they want to receive that, but they don't understand what it really took to get here, or even what it takes to maintain.
Right.
And I remember a couple of months ago, I asked God, you know, for something simple. I said, you know, God, I'm making this amount of money. I need to make this amount of money. And you know what he did? He reminded me of how I was already complaining about what I already had to do. And he said, are you really sure this is what you want to do? Because if you want to make more money, then this comes with more work. And I had to just brace myself, and I was ready. And I took on some projects, and I took on some things that I'm doing, and I'm doing some different things at work. But, you know, stuff just don't show up for us. We have to work for it. And God would bring us to that place, but we have to be open for whatever it takes to keep it and maintain it.
You are preaching to the choir. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Wow. So your book, There Is Good in My Hood, that I see plastered all over Facebook, with
goodness.
Some A-listers, some actors, actresses. I'm like, oh, look at her. tell us about that. What in your heart that's in that book? Because it appears you would put your heart in this book.
You know what? And so here, another story. I told you the story behind everything. There is Good in My Hood. About 5 years ago, the staff and the youth of New Image, we will all sit down on the floor with big pieces of paper and markers and pens and whatever we could find. And we began to identify things in our hood. And this is the same hood that I'm referring to. I don't live here, but it had become a part of my life because I'm here so much. So we began to identify all the positive things in the hood. We began to identify all the negative things in the hood. And it was part of our processing session for our youth to see that there is good in every hood. So we would call this section Good in Our Hood. And I remember going over some of these paperwork, so like over months, and the things that we had written, and I began to see a common thread amongst many of the students and even the teachers and the staff who were here at the time. And so what we did was I gave it to an individual who wrote songs, and he did rap. So I asked him to create us a rap, and he was able to do it, but that wasn't it. God wasn't finished with us yet. So I began to do different things with it, and we had a staff member on board who I gave it to, and he began to kind of create a storyline from it. I began to add to it. Mm-hmm. I began to board of directors to help with it. And then that's when we became, we had like a manuscript for the book, There Is Good in My Hood. So I often tell people that I am the author of I Am Good in My, or There Is Good in My Hood. However, it's also the New Image Youth Center family, because this was a collective project. Now, I did, once we got all this information ready, I sent it over to a publisher. We were very excited about the ordeal, but they made the whole project their own. And my final result was nothing like I wanted. And I remember crying, and my mom is like my prayer warrior, and I said, Mom, this is not really what I wanted. This is not how I wanted to turn out. And so I had to make a decision at that time that because it was not God's best, not to put it out. So even though I lost money and I lost time and energy, I revamped it. It took me 3 years to revamp it, and then we came out with it again, and we came out with it, with the spirit of excellence. And that's why I believe that it's taken over the way it is, because our heart, our soul, our money, and everything was poured into this project. And let me tell you, the most amazing part about There's Good in My Hood is that I'm seeing my young kids right now, you know, their self-esteem, their confidence, and everything is coming up. Why? Because they are the authors of this book. They are constantly telling themselves, I am the good in my hood. I am the good in my hood. I am the good in my hood. So when they're about to get into trouble, they're telling themselves, I am the good in my hood. And it's deterring them from doing bad things or making bad choices. So I am so grateful, because it's not just for our hood, but it's for kids in any hood to know that you too can be the good. We have a vocabulary list in it, and we also have a list of positive affirmations that children can repeat on a daily basis. So this whole book is focused on building up children in the hood to let them know they are the great, they are the best that they can be, that they too can reach their goals. And it's just, we're really excited about where God has taken it. people are believing in it, people are getting it in the hands of others, and that's why you're seeing a success the way that it is.
Awesome. Wow. Now, I know, because we're working on some things behind the scenes. You want to talk about that project that you're working on, too, since we're talking about books?
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about the collaboration that you're working on.
Yes. Yeah, so I had the opportunity to be a part of several anthologies and compilations with some amazing women. And so one day I was riding home from work and God just said, you know, I need you to tell her story. And I didn't understand at the time what her story was. And I was thinking that he was just telling me to sit down and just start writing another book. But it wasn't the fact of me writing another book, because he said, this one isn't for you. It's going to be for other people. And so as he began to give me more information about it, he gave me the word another. It's not just another story, but at the last three letters of another are. So it's not just another story, but it's her story. And we have located some women. We're even currently still looking for women. But it's women who have a story of something that they have overcome, maybe even something that they're yet still in, but it's something to help encourage other women all over the world to know that, yes, there is a situation. Yes, we have been in this before, but we are overcoming it. And I think that's one of the most amazing things, is because, again, people will look at our story, Wanda, and not remember or not even know that we have a whole testimony behind it. And even I have a testimony that I said, you know what, I want to get out of my shell, and I want people to know the real me. And that's exactly what this process is. I mean, women are getting delivered by writing their stories. And Wanda, you've already done this so many times before, but you've shared your story with so many people and have helped other people be delivered, set free. And because of your story, you know, it's changing the lives. It's really changing the game. And that's exactly what this book is about. It's not a group of women who just went through domestic violence or sexual abuse. We've all come through different things, and we're telling our story of how we overcome, or if we're still overcoming, how we're overcoming, and also offering positive advice and scriptures and prayer to those women who are in those same situations to know that they too can come out of it. There's strength in numbers, and we're coming together to do it.
Yes, and you said something. And Saturday at the award ceremony, it was actually at a church, and there was another young lady there that her organization is called Jennifer's Journey. And her story, when people hear my story, they're like, oh, my God. But when I hear other people's stories, I'm like, oh, my God. And
wow.
Her husband told her that she was going to live to see her birthday. He told her that 5 days before her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He actually went to her job in front of her coworkers, put a gun to her head, and shot
Whoa.
Her.
Whoa.
And she said she ran down the hall. Blood, of course, is everywhere. There were seven, she remembered there were seven doors. All seven doors were locked. So that happened 3 days before her birthday. Now, when they got to the hospital, of course, he's arrested in prison because he didn't run. I mean, he stayed there and waited. And when they got there, they couldn't remove the bullet from where the bullet had lodged in her head. They couldn't remove it. And as she's standing there talking with this bullet in her head, she was released from the hospital on her birthday.
What?
So I looked at her. My eyes was all teared up. And I said, but God. So she told her story. And then I followed up with mine. And we had like a panel discussion. Well, in between the panel discussion, this lady out of the audience took a mic. And when I say she broke down, she had just went through, she had been through the court system. She was arrested and charged with attempted murder because she decided to fight back and try to kill her husband. was arrested, you know, went through so much trauma, you know, get out of that, show that it was, you know, self-defense. And she made it through that process. But when she took that mic and when she told her story and she's crying and she broke down, she was like, it's, you know, I needed to be here. I had to hear these stories. It let me know I'm not alone. I can do this. So you're right. It's just, even though I'm up there shaking and trembling and choked up when I'm telling my story, so like I tell everyone, it doesn't matter how many times I say it, it's always like it's the first time. Every time I say it, it is always to me like the first time. So it's always confirmation for me when things like that happen. It could have been a room of two people and one person broke down and had a testimony. I've done what I was supposed to do.
Yes.
And that was to share my story, be transparent, and to help other individuals that, like I say, have or are still walking in my shoes. So you're right. Our stories and telling them, it does help people. And we really sometimes don't have any idea or don't even know. But that Saturday, she took the mic from the MC and was crying. And was just like, thank you. And it's moments like that that keeps me going, because I always say, many people have no idea how many tears are behind this smile. Have no idea. I could be watching TV, driving, cooking. It does not matter. And just all of a sudden feel the hurt and the rage and just start crying. Like,
wow.
Oh, my gosh. So for me, that Saturday, when you just said, I'm like, you're right, because I just experienced it Saturday.
Right. And you know, so as you said, I'm a licensed mental health therapist, and I think that is so good for us sometimes to continue to tell our stories, because, you know, sometimes a lot of people are gone about their business and they think that they're over things until certain things
right.
happen in their life, and it triggers back a lot of those moments and those feelings and those things that they have been hidden for so long. So, you know, telling that story over and over again is just a healing process for you, and a constantly humbling process of reminding you of where God has brought you from. And that's what I've recognized even with my own personal story. I said, God, whenever I get a chance, I'm going to tell it wherever I go, because I feel as if every time I'm able to tell it, it reminds me of how good you were. So when I tell people that, you know, how that semi truck hit me and I knew I was dead, but yet I'm here talking to you, reminds me that my purpose is yet not finished. My purpose is yet still alive. So I appreciate you telling your story. And as you just said, feeling in the moment every time you tell it, that's amazing. That's how you know this is your passion. This is what God wants you to do, because it takes you back every time.
Lord. Wow. Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to get emotional again. But it's just people really, when you said earlier that people bask in the glory, they see now. They didn't see the, oh, I hate this church, I hate where I'm at, I hate these people, I hate this. They didn't see that. They didn't see
That's
your
right.
process.
That's right.
And this walk, it's for me, and I just started. Oh my goodness, it just started. We Are Survivors is going. We're going into our third year. It was 2 years, December 22nd. So we're going into our third year, and I'm already tired. Lord Jesus, I try to remember what my life was, my normal life was before We Are Survivors, and I can't even remember. One thing
wow.
I do remember is I went to bed at 9 o'clock. I remember, that's the only thing I can remember, is I went to bed, I think I went to bed at 9:30. But I cannot remember my life before We Are Survivors. I have no recognition of what my normal process was. And there have been many days where I stop and I try to remember, okay, what did I do before We Are Survivors? And
right.
the last 2 weeks, of the year, of last year. I didn't have any school. School was out. I didn't have any meetings. I was like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing. And I freaked out because I think I was like, am I missing something? Am I supposed to be somewhere? Is it a call I'm supposed to make? See, people understand this becomes us, and this is our life. It's, for me, this is all I dream, eat, sleep,
yes,
think about.
It is.
Walk.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Okay, what can I do to help this person, or what can I do to help? And God, okay, you show me that I have to be different from any other organization, so I have to think outside the box. Well, what does
yes,
outside
you do.
The box mean?
That is amazing.
Yeah, and He just keeps planting seeds, and I'll be like, please, wait a minute, wait, and it's people. Be like, wow, and I'd be like, but wait, I didn't ask for this. I went to mind my own business because I was, you know, that woman. And it's so funny, my family, my friends that know me, they're like, you've changed so much, because I was that woman that didn't nobody like. I was the one that called out their name. I was the B word, and I was fine with it. I didn't care, and it didn't bother me. And I used to always say, I said, when I die, I'm going to have the smallest funeral ever. And that's how I thought, because I didn't mix with anyone, especially women. So when I began this walk and God showed me that I was going to lead women and help women, I was like, God, I know you do everything.
Yeah.
Really? Me? No.
Are you sure?
No. No. So we went back and forth for about 2 years because I was like, God, you got choked. No. But what really, he stopped and reminded me, because I share this story not often, because a lot of people be like, wow, or look at me crazy, and be like, are you serious? But just like God talks to you, some people understand the devil also does. And I knew 5 years ago that it was something God had in store for me before God even revealed to me my purpose, when I had a personal visit from the devil himself. And the only reason why I knew it was him is because when I woke up and I was so petrified, and I prayed to God for hours to please reveal, because I had no memory of what I had seen, where I had been.
Wow.
No, I couldn't remember. But I just was so frightened. And when God revealed to me what I had went through, I hated again that I had asked him to reveal to me why I was so scared. But I had the devil pay me a visit and show me so many different things, and then ask me to sign my soul over to him. And of course I refused. But once I realized what had happened, and it didn't stop there, I had to reach out to prayer warriors, because I would step outside my home and they couldn't step up on the curb. When I say it was shadows, dark shadows that were in front of my house, in my alley, they couldn't step, because my pastor blessed my home when I bought my home. They couldn't step up on my curb.
Oh, my
God.
They
were out in the street. They were out. And I thought for 3 weeks I was losing my mind, until I had to look at my household. I said, okay, I thought I had hit a man. I got out of my car. It was just an open field, but I could have sworn I hit somebody. So I put my car in park, got out, walked around. There was no one there. That is when I started picking up my phone and praying and asking everyone that I knew, prayed sincere prayers, to please start praying, because I'm under attack. I knew then God had something for me, because the devil was trying to get to me.
Wow.
So I, for me, we are survivors. Like I said, people see me in all the fancy dresses and the makeup and the this and the that, but they have no idea what I go through, what I've gone through and what God is going to take me through, because he keeps stretching me. He keeps making me very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. And I be like, okay, and I cry, and I get angry, and I get mad, because I don't want to do this.
Oh, my goodness.
But the fear of being disobedient.
Yes.
Will keep me walking.
Yes.
It will keep me walking on this journey, because I will not be disobedient. Will not. No matter how tired, frustrated, anxious, overwhelmed, and I can go on with some more, I just know someone needs this or someone needs that. Someone needs to hear this. Someone needs to see that. Someone needs to put themselves in my shoes just for a minute, whatever that may be. No matter how tired I am, how anxious or angry or sleepy or in pain, I still have to press through, because I'm honored
right.
to be chosen. So
right.
honored.
Yes.
I have my niece said, she's like, Aunt Wanda, she says, I envy the relationship you have with God. Look to her, so you can have your own personal relationship. Just be careful what you ask for.
Oh, my
just
God.
Be careful. Because when he gives it to you, he's going to expect you to do it.
Mm.
Don't envy my walk. Get your own walk. Because I looked at her and said, I promise you, you don't want my walk. I promise you, you don't want it. But like you said earlier, all they see is the glam and the glory and the, oh, wow, she has this. Oh, wow, she's doing that. Oh, she's there. Oh, they have no idea. The sleepless nights, the worrying.
That's right.
And the tears, because God wrestled with me in December and told me that my book, my story, I have to complete my book this year. And I
okay.
just, God, when am I supposed to do that? Tell me, as I'm crying, when am I supposed to do that? I don't know. He just said have it done by the end of the year. Okay. Well, it's February. I got one chapter. I got one chapter down. I don't know how many more I got to go. But the fear of not having it done is bigger than anything else. So I gotta be obedient. Because I know what can happen when you're obedient. And I know he's brought me to my knees before.
Mm.
He has taken, this is my second home I've owned. I owned my first home at 24. And the second home at 34. God has stripped me before.
Right.
I will not put that on myself again.
I've been
no,
there.
Thank you.
I understand. I do understand.
So, I am thankful and grateful for what he has done, what he is doing. I was on a radio show Tuesday night by really accidentally, and just to hear people's response and be really like, you're not on, and I said this last week, and I know everyone's story is different, and like I said last week, I don't take from, because my mother, which is another story, the things me and my mom went through. My mom was there Saturday when I got my award. It's her first event, We Are Survivors event. And to have her on stage, my mother was abused. She's a survivor. My father didn't only abuse me, he abused her. I didn't know until all of this, until God started dealing with me and all of these things. My family is divided. You know, like I said, people don't see that when they see me in the dresses and the hair and the makeup. But my sister, who is my best friend, I hadn't talked to her in almost 3 years because I decided to be obedient. I had forgiven my father and had a wonderful relationship with my father. But we never discussed what he did. It was just, you know, didn't exist. But when I started being obedient, my sister and my father, they formed an alliance, and now they don't talk to me, my sister, me, my brother, or my mom. So I've sacrificed my family because me and my sister were inseparable. And she's acting like I don't even exist anymore because our father has brainwashed her against me, even though she witnessed some of the things that occurred. So people really don't understand. For me, when I'm doing what I'm doing, the sacrifice, it's like you and the 18-wheeler, you know, because it wasn't your time. Because God's like, you still have some things to do.
That's right. That's so right.
So to be that vessel, to be able to go through what you've gone through, because I was hit by an 18-wheeler, but I was bruised. That's it. Mm-hmm. But I could still picture that 18-wheeler
right.
coming straight at me. So, and I hit my gas pedal, which caused him to hit the back end of my car versus hitting me head on. That wouldn't have been a good thing. But just that experience in the car, you know, six spin in the intersection and hit a pole. But I was, you know, I walked away with just some bruises and, of course, sprained muscles. But what yours is on a whole other level. But to be able to walk away from that because God wasn't through with you yet.
That's right. That's right. I'm just grateful for the opportunity of knowing how faithful God can be in different situations. And I think that's why our stories are so important, whether it's, you know, abuse, whether it's coming through an accident, whether it's when we wanted to give up and we didn't, God sent the right person at the right time to encourage us. That's what it's all about at this time, of just knowing that there is a God and we cannot do this walk on our own. This walk was never designed for us to do it on our own, and that's why we have a comforter, and his name is Jesus, you know. And I really think when we begin to seek him and call on him the way that we need to, that's when clarity begins to come for us, whether it's through our purpose, through our life, making decisions. You know, everything happens and it flows so much better because you're doing it in the will of God. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I heard a lot of what you said, and that was just encouraging even to me to even hear your relationship with God and how strong it is, because at the end of the day, everything goes back to that. We should go back to him for everything and not make decisions
yes.
in our own flesh and our own mindset, but actually do it with God. So I'm blessed to even hear that today.
Aww. Yeah, I tell everybody, God is my boss wherever I go. And we don't make decisions unless he says, okay, other than that, no. Because if it's not of his will, it will not be done.
Right.
And that's just the way I live my life. And like I said, because I've experienced some things spiritually, I don't. My walk is for real. And I have to follow what my father says and
yes.
trust in him and not man. And I've done
that's
that,
true.
And he keeps blessing me as survivors, because I went from, you know, okay, God, I'm going to do this, to I went to Europe last year for 8 days.
Oh, my God.
And that experience was unbelievable. To win an international humanitarian award was unbelievable. To be named ambassador of a project in Nigeria. I live in Dallas, Texas, but
oh, wow.
I have people know of me in Africa. That is a wow to me. For the first lady of Nigeria to want to meet me, that's a wow.
Wow.
So, like I said, it just my confirmation that God is pleased with the work that we as survivors are doing. Because like I always say we are survivors, because like I said earlier, I can't do any of this by myself. And I don't
right.
do any. The people around me do most of the work. Honestly, they really do. I really, really enjoyed the show. And like always, our time, that hour goes by so fast. They always keep asking me to extend 2 hours, but I got to go to church, so I can't extend the show for 2 hours. But I do appreciate you coming on. Dr.
Thank you
Button,
for the opportunity.
Button stuff. I enjoyed the conversation. I look forward to doing more work with you. I look forward to the book. I'm excited about being a part of your vision. I thank you for that and honored. Feel free to contact anyone that's listening now and later. Feel free to contact me and Stephanie with any questions. Her number is 817-320-2571. We are Survivors Numbers, 214-454-2933. Our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. I want to thank God for you listening, and I pray that something on our show will touch your heart. We are here to help, to support, to guide, to listen, and to lift you up in the name of Jesus. We will always worship his holy name. Thank you.